Seriously, let's say thank you again to the kids for sharing that with us. Let's give them another round of applause. You guys are amazing. Thank you. And we got our readers. Readers, if you could stand up. See, you're not sliding out that quick. Let's give it up for our readers. They did such an amazing job. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Oh. And the if you've volunteered, if you're one of the regular leaders for junior worship, I know Miss Elizabeth's over there. Can you guys just pause and give it up for our teachers? They're incredible. And last but certainly not least, Megan, don't leave yet. Can we just say thank you to Megan, who's just incredible. Oh, we are a lucky, lucky, lucky church. God's blessed us very much. And now I left my notes in the manger. There we go. So you think of Christmas. This is one of my favorite activities to do, like in June, July, when you're dealing with senses. If you want to get people to really engage with multi-sense, just ask them to tell you about Christmas. Like when you stop and think Christmas, what do you see? Okay, nobody sees anything.
Lights.
Yeah, lights. Now do you, the white lights, the multicolored lights, or the twinkly lights? All of them, all of them. What else do you see? Like, if you don't see this, it's just not Christmas. Christmas tree, yeah. What else? Yeah. Ornaments. A wreath. Yeah. Advent candles. A star. A giant Santa Claus on the outside of the building that used to be Wolf and Duschmeyer. Did I pronounce it wrong? Somebody asked me if we ever sing Silent Night in German, and I'm like, no, because we would slaughter the language, as I just illustrated with the store name. Yeah, what else do you see? Okay, let's switch it up. What do you hear? Like, if you're not hearing this, it's just not Christmas. Carols, Christmas songs. Which one, Marty? Oh, yeah, Silent Night. What else do you hear? Yeah, the bells. Sleigh bells ring. What else do you hear? It's just not Christmas if you don't hear blank. Don't hear joy? Yeah, laughter. How about this one? This is super fun. What are the smells of Christmas?
Cookies.
Okay, what kind? If you didn't hear that and watching on Zoom, the answer was cookies. When I asked what kind, the answer is yes. Can I get an amen? Yeah, what else? It's not Christmas if you don't smell
pine.
Cinnamon?
Yeah.
Pine. Yeah. Uncle Herschel, because the room is just a little bit too crowded. About what do you taste? What are the tastes of Christmas? Chocolate. Candy canes. Ham. Yeah, now I'm just curious. Last week we talked Purdue or IU. Now I'm curious. Turkey or ham? Whose Christmas is turkey? Okay, ham. Okay. I just wanted to know where the congregation fell on these important issues. Oh, how about feel? What's the feel of Christmas? What? What was yours?
Nice.
Yeah, it feels nice. It feels chilly. Coffee so hot that you don't have to wear your mittens. Yeah, it's amazing to just stop and go, hey, what are the things that if you don't sense them, they're not Christmas? For me, some of them. If you do not see these things, like it's not a Christmas pageant if you don't have a young man holding the shepherd's staff, poking his friend with it, thinking the teacher doesn't see. Right? It is not Christmas if we are not picking up cotton balls that have been glued on a Hanes beefy tee with a hot glue gun that are all over the state. It's just not Christmas. And it's not Christmas. It is not Christmas unless you have children in the angel halo. Are you with me? And I love it because there's always in the class, no matter when you do it, the angels are cast at a certain age where you ask the kids the week before, hey, what are you going to be in next week when we tell the narrative? And you've always got one angel that decides at the last minute they're not going to be an angel. This year it was, what are you going to be next week? An angel. What are you going to be next week? An angel. What are you going to be next week? A cowboy. And I so wanted to have the cowboy hat with the angel. I think when we get to heaven, there will be a cowboy angel. For the longest time, angels are super, super important at Christmas. And last week we talked about this. The word angel, angelos in Greek, means messenger. Yes, you are doing well with your Greek. I know why. Has dad been helping you? No, you're learning it all on your own. Yeah, it means messenger. Angel means messenger. And we have to remember that the focus, we can get caught up on angels at Christmas and miss that the focus is the message. That God left heaven and came to earth to dwell among us. That went to the cross to die for our sins. That because of his sacrifice, we are made holy. That's the message. And we can't get caught up in the trappings so that we miss that. Another thing for me that it's not Christmas unless you hear in King James. And it came to pass under the reign of Caesar Augustus, that the entire world should be taxed. And this was the first taxation when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Why do I remember that? Because if you have a dyslexic 8-year-old, you make them read that part during the Christmas pageant. And they will remember it when they're 46. That was my part. Now see, growing up dyslexic, I feel so bad for Miss Ruth Ely, who for the first way long time when I was here. And if you don't know this, Ruth doesn't just play piano. For one season of life, Ruth was a math teacher. So this makes this even worse. And after the service, people, just out of curiosity, who got to learn math from Miss Ely? Okay, I was just curious. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, she was my math teacher. It was great. So I'd email Ruth, but being dyslexic, I would send her, say, hey, what are we doing with angel tree? Only I would spell it angle tree. And I got thinking, and if you need to look it up, an angel is a messenger. An angle is when two lines come together, usually measured in degrees. If you don't know, and if you're a note taker, you can write this in there. If the measurement is less than 90 degrees, it's an acute angle. If it's more than 90 degrees, it's obtuse. And if it's exactly 90 degrees, it's a right angle. And as I sat there, the way my brain works, I started thinking, man, how often does the way we define Christmas become all about the cute? Christmas is defined as nice, as cute, as the kids program, and somewhere in the Christmas angle, we miss the Christmas angel. Somewhere in the acuteness, we miss the message. It's so easy to miss the message. For me, it's got to be in King James, Luke 2. But there was a saint, a pastor, a priest that lived in Spain around the same time as Luther. His name was Ignatius, so I assume that his friend called him Iggy. Ignatius of Loyola, and what he did is he taught us to read Scripture using our senses. And if I could just challenge you this week, I'm going to read from Luke 2, and I'm going to encourage you to do this even as we read it. But what if you started each day reading this and just going, hey, what would I see if I was actually there, owning that this is a real thing that happened in a real time and a real place? What would I see as I'm reading Luke 2? Keep a notebook by you and write. You know, I'd see the shepherds. But get specific. Let your imagination interact. What did the shepherds look like? How tall were they? How young were they? How old were they? How many sheep did they have? And then the next day, read it and go, hey, if I was really there, And this one, by the way, will totally mess up your reading of Christmas. What would I smell? See, because I smell eggnog and ham. And I'm guessing a manger in a barn would not smell quite like Christmas. Oh, what's that do to you when you let it be a real event that happened in a real time in a real place? What are the tastes? What did Mary taste? What were the smells? What were the sights? What were the sounds? And so today I just want to enter into Scripture. And in case you want to know, you can Google it. His name was Ignatius. If you just Google Ignatius sense reading of the Scripture, he encourages people just read Scripture and think, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you taste? So we're going to do a nice slow reading of Luke. And if you need to close your eyes to enter into it, go ahead. And it came to pass in those days that there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. Just in case you don't know, this is one where I go, man, what did that feel like? How does it feel on April 12th when I get handed the decree that I should be taxed? There's happiness and joy abounding. And this taxation was the first when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph, he went from Galilee. Remember, Galilee is a seaside. Can you smell the fish? He went into the city of Nazareth in Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem, Beth, house, Lehem, of bread. Can you smell it? He went into Bethlehem because he was in the house and lineage of David to be taxed with Mary, his pregnant wife. And she was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Any parents out there remember that feeling? The firstborn kid? The sights? The smells? The lack of taste because your wife's been in labor for 36 hours? The fear? How bad am I going to mess this up? The utter joy? What did they feel? What did they see? What did they sense? This is a real Mary and a real Joseph. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels had gone away into the heavens, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass that the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which had been told to them concerning this child. And as they heard it, they wondered at these things which had been told to them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What's it look like to let the narrative, let the events settle in and inform your Christmas? What's it look like? One of the questions that I had to ask myself is how often have I let the cuteness of Christmas make my vision of Christmas a little too acute, a little too narrow? That I miss that this narrative, this message, this event wasn't just for people who look like me and smell like me, who were in the same socioeconomic class as me, but it was for stinky shepherd boys and rich kings from the Far East. Where's your Christmas need to get a little bit wider angle? And an even deeper question that I just need to wrestle with is, where at this Christmas season, when I let the narrative of Scripture inform my faith, where's my faith? And if you're a note taker, sorry, I had a typo on here. Where's my faith gotten a little bit too acute? Where's my faith gotten too narrow? Where is God saying to me in this season, Henry, open up your arms. I want to do even bigger things in you and through you. I want to bring healing to you and through you. I want you to join together with other people in new ways. I want to advance my kingdom through you. So what's it look like when we let the Christmas angle get a little bit wider, a little bit bigger? We let God grow our faith in new and miraculous ways. What are those things that God's saying to you? Hey, step out. Trust me. Let me love you even just a little bit more. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us right where we're at. God, thank you for being a God that didn't say, hey, you got to get to me, but a God that said, I'm going to come to you. God, thank you for coming to us over and over and over. Thank you for meeting us in those baptismal waters and claiming us as yours. God, thank you for all the gifts of Christmas. Thank you for the cuteness and the lights and the smells. And thank you that you also use that invitation as a challenge, calling us into ministry, into ways that we can affect our families, our neighborhoods, our worlds. God, as I looked at the prayer cross, there's so many that need healing physically. God, you know the specifics of Steve, Adeline, baby Bennett, Becky and Brad, Aaron and Gail, Jeff and Joe and Jolene and Peter and Melanie. God, you know that those are just some of the names, that there's some people who are struggling with unseen things, undiagnosed things. God, you were born into a family. You know that the joy of family is some of the deepest joy, and the struggles, man, they're real too. So God, work through both. Work through all of it. God, thank you for giving us words when we don't have to pray. Thank you for telling us just to ask that your kingdom come and your will is done right here on earth as it is in heaven. And God, as we return to that prayer that you taught us to pray, shape us by it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.